Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're listening to this week's excerpt from the Dear Prudence podcast. To get the full-length members-only version every week, join Slate Plus at slate.com/prudypod.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudy, do you think that I should contact him again?
Help.
Help.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Dear Prudence. I am, as always, Mallory Ortberg, also known as Dear Prudence. And today in the studio, we have the guest I have been waiting for since day one. It is Nicole Cliff, light of my life, heart of my own heart, former co-founder of The Toast and current best friend in my life. I'm really excited to get to that. So I'm going to rush through all the rest of the components of the show in order to maximize Nicole time. I want to get started by acknowledging something that came up in the live chat today and possible solutions that were suggested that I think we should not do. Somebody wrote in. He is upset because his aunt was recently, he was showing her pictures of his recent trip and trying to, you know, follow best practices, right? When you show someone pictures on your phone, it's like, first you make sure, hey, are any of, like, my dirty pictures, like, close enough to this that someone else could see it? That was not the case. She grabbed the phone, scrolled through them super fast, went through 300 photos in a minute and saw some dick pics. You know, he's a guy who dates, he's a young adult who is sexually active. And so sometimes he looks at pictures of people's genitals, as do many of us. And she really made a meal out of it. She was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe this happened. And she's always bringing it up now. Like, oh, I'd ask to see your phone, but I don't want to see a dick. And frankly, being a real dick about the whole situation. I'm so sorry. That was too obvious. And I apologize to all of you. I violated your trust. But yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think she's totally out of line. I think you should assume that everybody's phone is just filled with the kind of filth that you don't want to see. Not because filth is bad, but because you don't want to have that information on other people unless you plan on exchanging filth. And a lot of people were saying, hey, there's ways that you can hide your photos. There's ways that you can, like, put your phone on a certain lock so that if someone else is scrolling through it, they can't see your dick pics. And that's all well and good if you're, like, in a home where you can't trust your own privacy and there's a possibility that a parent or somebody else would, violate your privacy. Sure. But in general, no, don't live your life according to the whims of the nosy aunts of the world. It is your phone. There's an expectation of privacy. You keep dick pics on there. All you have to do is make sure you're not actually, like, flipping through them to show someone else a picture of, like, your dog. You're good to go. That is, like, the most anyone can ask of you. Keep all the pictures of all the genitals that you want on your phone. And if somebody grabs your phone and flips through the archives, like, that is on them. They are asking to look at dicks or butts or something. And if they don't like it, then that's on them. They should look at the genital pictures on their own phone, which, come on, they have. Like, she's never looked at a dick on her own phone. Nonsense. Balderdash and hogwash. So, you know, keep them on your phone, man. If somebody says, can I use your phone? And you want to say no, say no. You have that right. You can say, I'll look it up for you. But I'm just going to handing off, like, my most private possession that, like, we all take in the bathroom with us. You know, that's yours. You have that right. I want to share one more letter that we got from a listener because they have appropriately chided me. I needed to be chid, and I would like to now read the chiding to you so that you can all collectively experience the slap on the wrist that I need. Dear Prudence, your response to Greedy Sister had bad tax advice in it. For those of you who don't recall, that was from the woman who wanted to anonymously donate to her niece's tuition for college, but because of her own sister's kind of bad history of taking money intended for the children, she wanted to do so in a way that would not involve the girl's mother in any way. So Your response to Greedy Sister had bad tax advice in it. You do not get a tax deduction for helping an individual pay their tuition. You use the word donate. Paying someone's tuition, regardless whether it's anonymous or not, does not give you a tax deduction, nor is it a donation. And you do not get a tax deduction by setting up a trust to target a specific individual's tuition. If that were the case, many people would be doing it. You need a retraction, and I'd recommend you quit providing charitable tax advice. I think it's illegal. Otherwise, I enjoy your column. This is one of the best letters I've ever gotten. I clearly could not have been more mistaken about all of my non-professional tax advice. And it's just wonderful to read something that's like, I think it's illegal. Otherwise, I enjoy your column. Except for that enormous caveat that you are providing illegal and mistaken tax advice. That's totally true. I am not a tax attorney in any way, shape, or form. I hope that you are. You sounded like one right up until the end when you said you thought it was illegal. It seemed like you sort of lost the like sense of confidence that had been sort of powering the whole letter up until then. But at any rate, you are correct. I am incorrect. Again, it's great that I ended my letter telling her to check in with a real tax attorney, because hopefully that tax attorney will say the same thing, which is that Dear Prudence is not a tax attorney, and she was wrong. So.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On that note, I would like to introduce another person who is not a tax attorney and will not be giving any legal advice today, Nicole Cliff, the co-founder of The Toast, my favorite person in the whole wide world, a woman who is constantly posting threads from the relationship subreddit on Reddit, which are all questions that I wish so much people would send to me because they are so bananas. I love them so much. I love reading them. I love everything about her. Nicole, welcome to the show.
I am so pleased to be here and for you to appreciate the work I do curating Reddit for the world.
You had the most amazing one today about the Lord of the Rings themed wedding.
Ooh, oh man. I just don't see how you spring your lifelong wish to have a Lord of the Rings themed wedding on your fiance after you've gotten engaged. I mean, that's like a date three talk if you're like, by the way, you know, someday we're doing a fully fledged.
Oh, yeah. And I loved that one person's advice was just like, the furthest I'd be willing to budge is two Enya songs during the reception and putting on elf ears in the bedroom.
Oh, like that was just so harsh and so beautiful at the same time.
Frankly, it seemed like pretty open-minded to me.
Well, you know, they want to roll with the punches, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just feel like Lord of the Ring wedding is either something you want more than anything in the world, or it's something you want zero amount. There's not a lot of in-between.
Oh, no, there's no compromise. There's no compromise on that front. But also, to me, I'm like, if you require a Lord of the Rings-themed wedding, I don't know how you found a life partner for whom that wasn't also their lifelong dream. Like, yeah, how are you winding up with someone who's like, I'm kind of into Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions, but I feel for both of them, and I don't have high hopes for them working it out. Speaking of people we don't have high hopes for, I think we should start with this first letter.
Oh, bring it.
Which is a doozy. And I think I'm going to have you read this one, if you don't mind, Nicole.
I would love to.
Will you lead us in? Thank you.
Dear Prudence, 6 years ago, I met a guy very different from anybody I'd been involved with before. I became completely enamored. I moved away, but we kept in touch. We met for dinner a few times. There was some flirting and kissing, but that's all. After all this time, I am still obsessed with him. We text often, talk on the phone every week or so. He's intelligent, attractive, and funny. I'm a couple of years older than he is, and neither of us are kids. He has stood me up numerous times, usually without even a call. He always responds if I contact him, but rarely initiates contact. A couple of years ago, I reached the crazy stalker point and went to his house when he wouldn't answer his phone, which was terribly embarrassing. Still, I can't let go of this non-relationship. We follow the same pattern time after time. I arrange to be in his area, either for other reasons or just to try to see him. He agrees to something, then either has an excuse or just disappears. I cry, scream, yell at him via text or voicemail or email, to which he doesn't respond. A couple of days later, I feel bad about the terrible things I've said or called him, and I end up apologizing to him. And we repeat the cycle. I'm not looking for marriage or even a full-time relationship, but I can't get him out of my head. I've wasted so many hours, bracket years, end bracket, and quite a lot of money, not to mention emotional energy on someone who makes no effort and I can't seem to stop. I'm not dating and have no interest in meeting anyone else. I try to eliminate him from my life, and I last less than a week before contacting him. I think about him constantly, and everything seems to remind me of him. I do not want to be his buddy. There are plenty of interesting things I could be doing, and I'm financially comfortable, and I'm missing a lot by not being able to break this hold. How on earth do I get my life, or any life, back? 6 years wasted is just ridiculous.
Oh my God, this is like a Marlene Dietrich movie.
I am broken on the wheel of this situation.
I'm so sorry that this is the one that we started with, because this is like huge. And it's going to take a lot more than just the two of us talking about her on a podcast to help. But yeah, this was like the Blue Angel. You know the Marlene Dietrich movie?
Oh, for sure.
He sees her singing in the nightclub and then basically just like throws his whole life away to follow her around while she repeatedly kicks him in the face.
Oh, he's her Blue Angel. There's no way around it.
Yeah, watch the Blue Angel, actually. That would be a helpful film recommendation for you right now, just to see like what this looks like from the outside.
Like, my first piece of advice to this woman, well, I mean, it seems suggesting you go into therapy. So it's obvious advice in this case, but still, you know, definitely go into therapy.
And I think not just therapy, but like go to therapy and tell the therapist, like, this is an emergency.
Yes.
I'm in crisis. You should be going to a therapist, frankly, on a daily basis right now. I just really want to echo, like, this isn't like, oh no, I'm involved with this guy who's really indifferent and I need to figure out how to kick him out of my life. Like, you're not behaving in a way that is okay for an adult to behave. Like, you're like a bad week away from somebody calling the police on you. And I don't want that for you. And I definitely don't want this poor guy to have to go through any more of what you've put him through. Like, it's not that, like, oh, he doesn't initiate contact because we're kind of involved, but I like him more than he likes me. It's like, it sounds like he's had to kind of arrange his life around managing you to keep you from blowing up at him or showing up at his house or like hurling emotional bombs into his life. And I feel really sorry for him. I think that's terrible. Like, if he'd written to me asking for advice, I would be very sympathetic to him. Sorry, Nicole, I just wanted to start by making it clear, like, how not okay I think this is.
Oh, like, no, absolutely. I think that's really important. Frankly, I think that what she might be somehow managing to think of as mixed messages are just the fact that he's afraid to cut off completely because she came to his house. Like, these are the accepting contact when she asks for it is literally his way of keeping the situation at this manageable, terrible level and trying to prevent escalation. Right. And not in any way that he enjoys talking to you occasionally.
Yeah, I think you should see this as not like, oh, if I could only figure out a way to keep him at the level where he's answering my texts and displaying some kind of interest in me, that's the good stuff. I need to figure out how to get rid of the stuff where I show up at his house or blow up at him. I think you really need to, yeah, acknowledge, like, he is trying to keep you from, like, emotionally abusing him. And that's hard, I think, to see about yourself. Like, I think you're clear on the fact that this isn't okay. You're clear that you're behaving in a way that's like desperate and controlling and not good for you. I worry that you kind of don't see this as like you're terrifying this poor person and he's doing his best to keep you from blowing up by allowing you to have certain amounts of contact with him, because when he tries to move away, you don't allow it.
I do not often recommend a specific Reddit-based solution to people in life crises, but in addition to the profound amounts of therapy and self-helping that I would recommend in this situation, there's a Reddit community called No Contact, and it is meant to support people through going no contact with their exes. It's kind of like AA, and there is a lot of accountability in it. And I think that it might be very helpful for her to work through the process of going completely, completely strict no contact. I'm talking, you need to block every avenue of access you have to this person. You need to have other people in your life helping you with it.
Yes.
And you need to say to them, I have compulsive, frankly, dangerous behaviors towards this person, and I need your help. And I think that there's no way that you're going to be able to slowly dip your toe in the water of not stalking this person, which you are doing.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing, right? Is like what you've been doing for 6 years has not been working. And I think the only thing that's going to help you break this pattern is by acknowledging how bad this is. And that's going to feel embarrassing. I'm sure that there's a part of you that does not want to acknowledge it's gotten this bad or that it's gone on that long because it will make you feel embarrassed and small. And I get that. But unless you want this to turn into 12 years, like unless you want to do this for the rest of your life, I think you need to treat this as seriously as it is. So like you say, I can't let go of this non-relationship. We follow the same pattern. Then he just has an excuse and disappears. And then I end up apologizing to him after I like cuss him out. And you kind of say that like, oh, I can't believe I'm apologizing to him when he's flaking on me. Again, he's flaking on you because you guys went out a couple of times 6 years ago and you have not let him go away. That's not okay. He's not flaky. He's not inconsistent. He's not sending you mixed messages. You're stalking him and you need to stop. So you need to go to a therapist. You need to find a good therapist. And you need to say, I am like damaging this other person's life and I cannot stop. Please help. You need to like, if you need to get rid of your phone for a little while, like that might make life complicated. It might make work tough. Like you need to take drastic action. Tell your family, tell your close friends, ask them to ask you on a regular basis, are you getting in touch with him? Like tell them to call you out, like invite other people's help because I want you to be a better person than this. And I think you want to be a better person than this. You get that this is a problem, but you don't yet realize how much of the problem is you. I don't think this guy is leading you on. I don't think that he's being inconsistent. I don't think he's sending mixed messages. I don't think that if you just try a little harder one day, he's going to realize what great fuck buddies you would make. I also think you're lying when you say that you don't want marriage or a relationship because whatever you want from him, it's pretty intense and it's pretty ongoing and you seem willing to do just about anything to get it. So don't lie to yourself by saying, gosh, I don't even want that much. I just want to like be able to have phone sex with him a couple times a month. You want a lot from him and you're willing to go to any lengths to get it. And so I think you need to be willing to go to any lengths to fix yourself right now. And that means like going to see a therapist, going to see a doctor, telling your friends and family, like setting up your day so that whatever kind of triggers happen before you get in touch with him, like you're able to, if not prevent them, at least manage them or be around other people. I would say go see a doctor. Treat this like an addiction. Treat this like a compulsive behavior that you can't stop on your own. Ask for help. And knock it the fuck off. And you don't need to send him a letter explaining anything. You don't need to say like, you don't need to like, oh, I should call him to tell him I'm going to stop talking to him. Cause that would just be an attempt to get a reaction out of him. You just need to stop. I'm mad. I'm mad at you.
You're fired
I don't
up.
Think you're, yeah, I just like, I think you are not behaving well and you have not behaved well for a really long time and you need to do better. So, yeah, treat this like an emergency, man. It is.
I hope she takes our excellent advice.
I do too. It's hard. It is hard after 6 years of seeing yourself as like basically Carrie and Mr. Big, like, oh, this is so dramatic and interesting. And when's it going to stop and like look back and have that moment where like Liz Lemon realizes she was a bully in high school. And to see yourself, sorry, I just like switched media properties really quickly, but to see yourself as the problem and to realize like this was actually not an equal amount of give and take, I did wrong. That's really hard to do, but I think it's necessary. And I'm really excited to hear that there's a place on Reddit where people try to help each other not bother their exes. That's a really good community to have.
They're doing great work. Great work. I sincerely regret that I did not have access to this community when I was getting dumped frequently in my 20s.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing okay now. As far as I know, you do not have a habit of calling and screaming at your exes, which is great. I'm glad to hear that.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Do you want to move to something a little bit lighter?
Let's do it. Let's move.
Let's do it. All right. I'm going to read this one. It's about unnecessary cars. Dear Prudence, a good friend of mine is turning 50 and has planned a big party. I had not planned on getting her an extravagant present. She's a successful professional, so she isn't really in need of or desires anything, and I'd rather give her something sentimental. But her husband sent out an email to the entire guest list from a crowdfunding site asking if we would be willing to donate towards purchasing her a luxury but used car. He went into detail about how he would trade her current car in, and that he didn't expect people to quote-unquote break the bank, but hoped that they would contribute at least what they would have spent on a present, and of course asked us all to keep it a secret so it would be a surprise. He then asked for feedback from the group concerning their thoughts on his scheme. I was very taken aback by the request. I think it puts people in a terrible position. If you don't want to participate and you say so, you're then left off the list of those who did when the time comes. If you do want to participate and had only planned on purchasing a cursory gift, one might feel like they have to put more in the kitty to save face, as it were, regardless of what they'd planned to spend or could afford. Furthermore, I'm not sure this is something that my friend's going to appreciate. She's very independent financially and otherwise. It would be one thing if her husband were purchasing it outright, but he's not. What's a person to do? I'm flummoxed.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I like that we just came from a letter about someone who's like destroying their own life from the inside by becoming a stalker. And yet this car thing, this is it. This is the height of it.
Well, partly I think I'm mad because in general, I think when people say things are tacky, like they are often being classist or just annoying, and that, you know, like people do the best they can in a lot of situations.
Yeah, but this might actually...
This is tacky. This is a tacky thing.
Do you know what I love about this? Is like the seeds for this answer are in the letter. He asked for feedback.
Oh, guess what?
To tell him what you think of this idea. And I think you should tell him what you think of this idea.
Tell him. Tell him very much more politely than we will.
Mm-hmm.
That you think that because your friend is very independent, financially and otherwise, that she might find this embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is one of those things where, like, he's just got to get a dose of honesty. I think you got to write back and say, like, I think, like, tell him everything you just told us. I think it puts people in a terrible position. I think it's unnecessary. I don't think that she wants this. I think that it's going to make a lot of people feel pressure to donate more than they can afford. And, like, I don't think that she's even going to like it. I think that asking other people to help buy her a car when you don't even know that she wants one is a really bad idea. And I think you should reconsider.
A luxury but used car.
It's such a weird mix of extravagant and petty that I hate it. Do you know what I mean?
It's remarkable. I'm just, it's like a strange crystal that I'm staring at, this question. it's remarkable to me. It's remarkable. And she's 50. This is like something hobbits would do, you know, and it would be fine within hobbit culture. And they would use
it. Yeah, like the Sackville Bagginses would do this.
Yes, exactly. This is Lobelia Sackville Bagginses' birthday idea.
Yeah. And you don't want to be Lobelia.
Don't be
Lobelia.
Nobody
wants that. Yeah. No, I think you should absolutely hit him with, I think this is a bad idea. Because he's asking for feedback and, I think that he should get this feedback. Like, I think this is a super clueless action on his part. And I think you should just phrase it like that. Like, I think this is really ill-advised. I think you should reconsider. I think this has a potential to go wrong in several different ways. As opposed to, I think it's tacky and you're a bad person. And then just let it be that. If he gets mad, fine. I wouldn't worry about it too much. I say get her the sentimental gift you were planning on getting her. I think we're like, tell him you think it's a bad idea and that regardless, you're not going to participate. You're going to get her something else. And good luck. And don't do it. Yeah, don't do it. That's a terrible idea. Also, like, when's he going to trade in her car, right? Like, is her car going to go missing a week before the party? Because it takes a while to, like, trade in a car, get all the money from the crowdfunding site, buy a new car, stash that somewhere. Like, this is just really badly thought out.
It's like those ads around Christmas time where some woman walks out of her house and there's a big red bow on a car in her driveway. I'm like, I would probably be slightly annoyed if my husband made a major financial decision for the two of us without telling me.
Right. And like, what if you left stuff in the car like the night before that you were going to get out and you forgot about it? Like, where's your other car?
This is the sort of thing Christian Grey would do, frankly. Like, this is just an over-the-top gesture, which is not kindly so much as controlling in a weird way.
Yes, yes. I think that's it exactly. I think this is going to be a gift that would actually inconvenience and kind of embarrass her. And he thinks it's really thoughtful. And I hope he's well-intentioned and not just incredibly boorish. I hope he's well-intentioned, but a little bit like thick-headed, and that this feedback will help him turn it around. But it's also really possible that a bunch of people will write in and say, I think this is a bad idea. And he's like, you're idiots. I'll buy her this car by going extremely into debt. She'll love that as a 50th birthday present.
It's going to be a beautiful gesture. And you can't appreciate the magic.
Yeah, no, this is terrible. This is a terrible idea. Definitely don't participate. And I really want to hear from the wife. I really want to warn the wife, honestly. Like, if this were me and it were like, Nicole, if Steve did this and I knew how you felt, I would give you a heads up. I would say, like, act like you found out by accident. But here's what he's planning on doing. And I hope you can get out of it.
Thank you. You're a true friend. I would do the same for you.
What's the, if you can say it on the air, what's the worst present you've ever gotten for like a birthday from someone you were either in a relationship with or someone who thought you would really love something that you didn't?
See, I got a Saw movie for Valentine's Day one year, but that was actually for me like a pretty decent gift. So I can't really claim that. I don't know. I don't have a really great funny one. I wish I did. What about you?
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I don't have any like really great like used cars. I dated someone in high school who would often try to buy me clothes, and it was like sort of tried to based on like what they thought I had like looked at online, but it was just like four steps too far to the left. Do you know what I mean? Where it was like, this doesn't fit and it's not my style both. So I can't even like wear it once to like make it seem like I like it. This is not going to work out for any of us. And had we stayed together, I have no doubt that I would have continued to say, I love it, it's wonderful, and not given them helpful feedback. And then eventually we'd be at this car stage and I would have to reevaluate my entire life.
Man, just imagine the series of choices that have slowly led up to making this car thing happen. You're right. I bet she's got a lot of presents she doesn't like that she keeps in a closet.
And he's just like, she loves my presents. She's always using them once I leave the house. And I can't wait to see her drive this car when I'm out of town. All right. So I'll read this next one. Dear Prudence, I was invited to a baby shower for my next door neighbor and RSVP'd. A week later, I was invited on the same day to a girl's morning out with my coworkers. The neighbor has a habit of saying unkind things about other women, while my coworkers are kind, supportive of other women, and a lot of fun. I want to choose the girl's morning out and back out of the baby shower, but is that an ethical thing to do? This is so great because this is basically like every sitcom episode where the teenager has to learn that like you have to honor your commitments.
Oh, for sure. You've said yes to the baby shower. You're going to go to the baby shower. Like also a girl's morning out is not actually a thing.
You also like can't. Yeah. Is that just brunch? Girl's morning out? Like, is that just you're going to have brunch?
You can do that any day. You eat food every day.
It's true. Yeah. No. If you didn't dislike this coworker enough to say no to their baby shower when you didn't have other plans, then you like can tolerate them enough to go just because there's something else you'd rather go to. And you can't flake on a baby shower the way you can flake on like a casual dinner. You know what I mean? Like it's a baby shower. She's having a baby. They don't have like a shower a day. Like you can't. I don't know. There's something really sad about the idea of a lot of people RSVPing to someone's baby shower and then like not showing up and someone just being like, "Welp, my child will enter the world with no one's good wishes."
No, this is just something we do. It's part of the social compact. You know, no one is super excited to go play. Have you the candy bar game? Have you seen the candy bar game?
Fuck is a candy bar game?
Oh, Mal, you do not have enough friends who are having babies, because what this is the lady throwing the party like mushes a candy bar into a diaper, like five different kinds of candy bars into five different diapers, and you get to examine it and try to guess what kind of candy bar it was.
Aren't diapers like overflowing landfills the world over?
Yes, they
are. Aren't they like the number one? I can see my producer in the booth right now, by the way, and she's like disappeared. She's gone. She's no longer here. I can hear her laughing through this soundproof glass.
That's why people don't like baby showers, because of the games. But
I actually find that campy and hilarious, but I've also never seen a human being who would do that, like, unironically. So I feel like this is an amazing opportunity for just some, like, Jane Goodall, Gorillas in the Mist style observation. Like, how long can a baby shower be? 2 hours? You go for 2 hours. You give them something nice. You make friendly noises to demonstrate that you mean them no harm and you will not eat their offspring when it is born and defenseless and plump, which is the only reason people have baby showers, is to like get contracts of non-aggression from healthier adult predators. And then like go do something else. You know, you'll have the whole rest of the day.
Tell her she looks radiant and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you got to go. You got to go. I'm sorry that she's sometimes mean, but that's, you know, if it wasn't a problem when you got invited in the first place, it can't be a big enough problem for you to back out now. You go out with your coworkers another day.
It's nice when we can come down very strongly on the side of just like the traditional etiquette answer to this question is so clear,
right?
No other answer.
Because I feel
possible.
Like I'm often like, how can you get out of this stuff? And so it's nice every once in a while to be like, no, the social contract must be upheld. Don't eat your friend's child. Even if you're having trouble locating prey. Okay, I think we're ready for Jeff. And Nicole,
right.
I want you to read this.
I'll do it. Dear Prudence, I've had a break with a friend of 10 years. Jeff, my husband, and I had a long-standing Friday night dinner out tradition, frequently saw movies together, etc. While at dinner, a silly argument erupted that Jeff attempted to settle with his favorite technique. Pull up Google and read at you the first random article that comes up, demanding your silence while he sets you straight. I behaved very badly, was rude, boorish, and said unkind things. I referred to him as, quote, a 10th grade dropout with a beauty certificate, end quote. I hate this part of me. Believe there is never an excuse to be unkind. I'm very embarrassed and feel only regret. The following morning, I offered an unreserved apology for my behavior and asked to be forgiven. Jeff accepted, thanked me, and asked for a break to process. Haven't heard from him since, and that was 3 months ago. My husband recently criticized me for not reaching out. I reminded him, Jeff asked for time, and I'm giving it to him. But here's the thing. I don't miss Jeff. Jeff brings his own challenges. Jeff stood up for us at our wedding. In every wedding photo, he wears the grim face of a Civil War soldier photographed on the battlefield. Not one smile. He's oddly controlling, i.e. he was angry with me for an extended period when I remodeled my kitchen without his supervision. I'm not angry at Jeff and would come to his aid without hesitation today if he called for anything, but I don't miss him. Haven't had a boorish outbreak since and feel only relief by his absence. I'm embarrassed by non-romantic breakups, but not interested in resuming our regular contact. Out of deference to our long-standing friendship, should I reach out to Jeff to clean things up?
Woo!
Oh, boy.
Well, this blowout was a long time coming, wasn't it?
Oh, that's been a pressure cooker situation right there. I don't even know what a beauty certificate means.
I don't know. Basically, I'm picturing Warren Beatty and shampoo at this point.
Okay,
As a guy, like a cosmetology certificate maybe, or I don't know, maybe he's really good looking, or maybe he like works in hair and makeup.
She does not like Jeff is the take home here.
I was going to say, I got to tell you, I think
Jeff is not your friend.
Pretty clear-eyed about most of this, but when you say I'm not angry at Jeff, I just don't believe you. I think you hate Jeff.
She absolutely hates Jeff. She does not want Jeff in her life. I think this situation has resolved itself beautifully.
Except for the part where her husband doesn't like the situation, right?
Well,
except
Jeff
for the part
isn't
where
his
her
friend.
Husband... No, Jeff is, I think. My husband recently criticized me for not reaching out. So clearly her husband is like, I wish we could go back to our weekly dinners. It sounds to me, obviously there's no smoking gun here, but it sounds to me like Jeff came with her husband. Like he stood up for them at the wedding. Her husband wants her to reach out. I don't think he'd be doing that if it was her friend necessarily. Like I think Jeff is at the very least now a friend of the husband's and he wants them all to like hang out again, which maybe is not ever going to happen.
That's true. Her husband may have to cultivate some resilience on that front. I've had a break with a friend of 10 years. 10 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think this is one of those things where the internet has actually worked out well, which is that you might have had Jeff like a millstone around your neck your entire life if you lived in a time when you just automatically became friends with the person who lived next to you because you didn't see anybody else.
Uh-huh.
Like, it really sounds like Jeff was not pulling his weight in the friendship situation. Like, and she just doesn't like him is the other thing. I guess if I would tell my husband he was very welcome to hang out with Jeff on his own time, and if Jeff was interested in hanging out with us, fine, but I've apologized. I'm done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, part of the problem is you clearly don't like Jeff, and Jeff kind of clearly doesn't like you. And there's been this sort of like circling around each other for 10 years where like he clearly has this method of solving arguments that you can't stand, but it doesn't sound like you've challenged before. You felt like there was a weird vibe from him at your wedding, but it sounds like you didn't say anything about that. And so finally it got to a point where you'd been holding in so much that you said something that you knew basically he would be unable to forgive. So obviously on some level you wanted there to be a break, right? Or your inhibitions were lowered enough that you were like, I'm going to say all the stuff I've been saving up for 10 years. And I think whatever you do next, you need to start by acknowledging, like, I hate Jeff. I don't want to be his friend. So if I say something like, I want to be friends again, I didn't really mean that. And I need to think through, like, if he did take me up on that and we started hanging out again, and I just, like, again, like, let him do all this stuff that drives me crazy and that I hate, I'm eventually going to call him something awful again. And you don't want that, right? Like, that's not the kind of person that you would like to be. It would have been much better if you had said, like, 8 years ago, Jeff, I really hate it when you solve an argument by reading your phone at me. Please knock it off. As opposed to getting to the point where you're like, you're a 10th grade dropout. Because that's a really unkind thing to say. I have had a similar experience to this a number of years ago. I had a friend, not like terribly, terribly close, but somebody I knew and got along with. And there were things about our friendship, the dynamic that was like frustrating to me, but I thought it would be rude to speak up. And then they did something that I felt like was insulting to me. And I just like snapped and said something that I kind of knew they felt really vulnerable about and that would be incredibly hurtful. And it was. And I felt really bad. I wasn't quite at Jeff levels. Like I hadn't resented them for a decade, but I felt really ashamed of like having said something I knew would really hurt them. And I apologized. And like they said, appreciate the apology and I forgive you, but I need some time. And, you know, that was the end of the friendship. Like I didn't get to continue to be friends with that person. And it was a little different because I would have liked to continue a friendship, but I had to respect that like, they forgave me. They weren't going to like carry around. They weren't going to carry it around for the rest of their lives, but it made them no longer interested in being my friend. And, you know, I had to kind of accept that and then also figure out like, how can I change my behavior in the future so that like, if I have frustrations, I can bring it up before I get to the level of, I'm going to say something really awful to force some sort of conflict. That's not a good place to be at, right? Like, that's not good.
The fact that she mentioned that she has not since this time had any Bourge outbursts suggests that she definitely doesn't like the version of herself that she is in Jeff's company.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you just need to be honest with your husband. I think that's the solution to your problem here. I think you just need to say to him, I'm really embarrassed by how I acted. A lot of stuff about Jeff drives me crazy, but I didn't speak up about it at the time and instead like did something I'm embarrassed about. But I apologized. Jeff accepted it and said he needs time. I'm actually not interested in becoming close with him. I don't like him. I don't think that we make good friends. And I know that that's not going to be very fun for you, but I just need to be honest about that. So if you want to spend more time with Jeff, you know, I can't force him to want to be close to me. I have apologized. He's accepted it. The ball's really in his court at this point. If he wants to reestablish contact, he doesn't. And I got to tell you, like, I don't either. So, you know, I understand that you want us to all three be friends. I don't think that's going to happen. And we need to accept that and figure out how you can be a part of Jeff's life in a way that you can live with, how I can be like civil to him if we see one another, and not like come to blows. But I'm not going to go back to those weekly dinners. Like those days I think are over.
I think we nailed it.
Man. Yeah. No, that's a bummer. I'm sure it's hard if you are in a like long-term marriage to have a person that you used to both be friends with and then at some point either through like a huge fight or just drifting like only one of you is kind of still close with them and the other one doesn't really want to spend time with them. I'm sure that's really tricky. I really want to ask you if you have any examples, but like you are married and
I'm mentally doing the math on whether, you know, anyone involved in the situation would ever listen to a podcast and find out about me talking about them.
You could always say this is really hypothetical. I don't know anyone that my husband likes and I don't. On this, we are two hearts with but a single thought.
Single thought.
Ugh. Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show.
I am so happy to have been on the show and I'm annoyed it took this long, but I've gotten over it.
Yeah. Before I send you away, I actually want to let the people know that they will be able to see you and me in person together again, getting the band back together next year in April at BinderCon.
Oh, it's going to be the most fun. It's in LA. You can buy tickets now. We're going to have great patter. And usually one of us says something wildly indiscreet when we get in front of a microphone. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, that's true. We usually reveal one or two dark secrets. It's going to be April 1st and 2nd next year in 2017. And you can get tickets at shop.bindercon.com. But yeah, you and I think are keynote speakers.
We are the first keynote speakers.
Are we talking about what have we decided what we're going to talk about?
Not even a little bit. I think it's probably going to be something like, you know, reaching for your dreams or women in media or
putting your dreams back away after 3 years.
Communities. Saying,
thank you, dreams.
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to Dear Prudence. Our producer is Casey Miner. Our theme music was composed by Robin Hilton. Steve Lickteig is the executive producer of Slate Podcasts. And Andy Bowers is the chief content officer of Panoply. And remember, you can always hear more Prudence by joining Slate Plus. Go to slate.com/plus to sign up. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and write us a review. Reviews help new listeners find the podcast, and then they ask us questions, and the podcast continues forever. Plus, my producer loves reading them. If you want me to answer your question, call me and leave a message at 401-371-DEAR, that's 3327, and you might hear your answer on an episode of the show. You don't have to use your real name or location, and at your request, we can even alter the sound of your voice. Keep it to 30 seconds or a minute, and then send it to me at prudencepodcast@gmail.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.